Petrus Tlopane Motsepe, born 28th January 1962, is a South African mining billionaire businessman of Tswana descent. He is the founder and executive chairman of African Rainbow Minerals, which has interest in gold, metals, base metals, and platinum. He sits on several company boards, including being the non-executive chairman of Harmony Gold, the world's 12th largest gold mining company, and the deputy chairman of Sanlam. In 2012, Motsepe was named South Africa's richest man, topping the Sunday Times annual rich list with an established fortune of 20 billion rand. In 2003, he became the owner of football club Mamelodi Sundowns. On the 12th of March 2021, Dr. Petrus Motsepe was announced as the new CAF president and also the first president from the SADC region. On this week's episode, we discuss all things CAF Champions League and Mr. Motsepe. However, I am joined by a returning guest. I think this on Disky Vibes, this man probably ranks right up there when it comes to the guests. I'm joined by Mr. Solly. How are you doing, bro?
Hey, greetings, Lulu. How are you, Mikey?
All is well.
Strong.
All is well.
Greetings to the listeners as well, the Disky Vibes listeners.
Yeah. So without wasting any time, let's start with the Champions League round of fixtures in the past few weeks that have been on display. Which are some of the games that stood out for you, and which teams look strong to you in the beginning stages of the group stages?
Well, look, in general, you know, just going over most of the games that I've seen, obviously your Mamelodi Sundowns, you know, as a mainstay in CAF Champions League competition over the last few years, has really, you know, proven to be a very strong performing team in the group stages over this particular season, I must say. So I found them to be impressive. I found the games that they've played, you know, to really be of high caliber, you know, of a very high caliber, and showing you, you know, a team that's kind of trying to stamp their authority to say, look, we may have lost him, but don't think we all about him.
Yeah.
You know, we trying to be different. Yeah. And I mean, that 2-1 win that they had this past week, you know, was actually a very interesting game, because it was tough for them to unlock, you know, Mazembe. It was very tough for them to unlock Mazembe. And I really felt like Mazembe brought it to Sundowns that day.
Yeah.
They really brought it to Sundowns, because it was literally a game of two giants in that sense, you know. But you could see who said, I am now the top guy in Africa. You will need to actually find ways of breaking through me. So it was a you know, interesting game for me in that sense. As a Kaizer Chiefs supporter, it's painful to talk about the Chiefs games, but I must say, I was thoroughly impressed by the performance of, you know, the young boys, Happy Mashiane, Ungobo as well. It was very, very, you know, refreshing to see the young boys really bring it into, you know, bring that flair into Chiefs again. It looked like they are the two kids that really look like Kaizer Chiefs players of old in that squad, you know, that glamour boy, you know, kind of football, but very progressive, you know, very new age. If we could have like 8, you know, to maybe 6 even other, you know, similar players or, you know, mindseted players in that squad, we could probably have a very different team, you know.
Definitely. And touching on that, this was an episode I did last week with Nibua, and we were focusing on Kaizer Chiefs, and my unpopular opinion was I'd rather give Arthur Zwane, the assistant coach, time as the head coach and allow him to use those young boys which he developed, because he's been a Chiefs development side for the past 8 years. So the players coming through now are the players he would have signed when they were 13 and 14. And another thing is, Kaizer Chiefs fans, what people don't know about us Kaizer Chiefs fans is that we would rather lose a game having those players on the field than having players who don't really fit the mold and the culture of the team. And I think it's great experience for them. Very valuable. Because how many South Africans can say that at the age of 21, 22, I was playing CAF Champions League football? You know, that just adds another feather to their cap, especially going into next season as well. You know, so I'm also excited to see them play. Every time I see them play, it's Kosi Mphile Ngcobo, it's Mashiyane, it's Njabulo Plom.
Absolutely,
those players are a marvel to watch. Absolutely. And there's one who recently got promoted. He goes by the name of Sabelo Khatebe.
Okay,
right, and he's been the captain of the MDC side. Mm. He plays as a number 10 and a number 8, very similar to Ngcobo, but right-footed.
Right-footed, yes.
So that's also one to look out for. You know,
absolutely.
And touching on the point of TP Mazembe, TP Mazembe did play Mamelodi Sundowns on the 16th of March, which was yesterday, and they lost 1-0 to Sundowns. Mm. And I'm just so impressed with how Sundowns have been conducting themselves, especially when it comes to the type of teams they've played against.
Absolutely.
They've played against Belouizdad. They've played against TP Mazembe. These two are very experienced teams in CAF Champions League, yet they've beaten them convincingly.
Absolutely.
On two occasions. And I mean, winning all four games, they've already qualified. It's 12 points in the bag, 10 goals scored, 2 goals conceded. They're just doing really, really, really well.
They're looking good. Like I said, they look like they're out there to prove a point.
Yeah.
You know? They're even playing like they're out there to prove a point.
Yeah.
But again, I think that will also tie into part of, you know, what we are about to talk about today, which is this great man, you know, Patrice Motsepe.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, the way Sundowns is operating right now on the field is a testament to what this man has done in terms of, you know, his management, his leadership, his vision.
Yeah.
And that can only excite you in terms of now his CAF presidency. Because 20 years down the line, Mamelodi Sundowns is a completely different team.
Definitely. And speaking of Sundowns, a former mentor of Sundowns, Bito Mosimane, became the first manager in Egyptian football history to win a game in the Democratic Republic of Congo after the emphatic CAF Champions League win over AS Vita.
Absolutely. I mean, look at that. Look at the history that, you know, South Africans are beginning to write in Africa. Look at the pedigree of what African football is now beginning to show and become, you know. It's what it always has been, but now it looks like, you know, really there's individuals that are beginning to take it seriously, not in a sense of just saying my career, but what are we selling to the world in terms of our coaching ability, in terms of our playing ability, in terms of our technical and tactical ability, you know, our development. What is it that we are selling to the world stage? And when you find individuals like, you know, Pito Mosimane, Patrice Motsepe, you know, doing that in the South African sense, it can only make you proud and only make you excited about the benefits that is going to give us, you know, in terms of our players, in terms of, our development of players from grassroots going up, our development of coaching, you know, and obviously getting world eyes looking at us to say, what other qualities can we find in this country? Because these two men are great products, you know?
And funny you say, what else can we find in the country? Just hours ago, news have broke out that Rulani Mokoena is a wanted man by Wydad Casablanca. And I mean, it's all amazing. And and what I love about how I've structured this show is that you got Petrus Motsepe right at the top, and everything is just trickling from beneath him.
Yes.
And now that you got Rulani Mokoena, who's being watched by a Wydad Casablanca, a team who I've been thoroughly impressed with in these group stages because they haven't lost a game.
Mm.
So if this team is dominating within their group, they haven't lost a game, yet they still want to rope in Rulani Mokoena. It tells you how much they value Rulani Mokoena and how well
that Pirates let go.
Yes, a man that Pirates let go.
Mm.
And it's just all interesting, you know. However, there is one last question I want to ask you regarding the CAF Champions League.
Mm.
So Sundowns on 12 points and Al Ahly sits second in their group.
Yes.
There's a very, very good chance that Sundowns might meet Al Ahly.
It's written in the stars.
In the quarterfinal. Would you take that as a quarterfinal match?
It's written in the stars. It's written in the stars. You know, the funny thing is, when Pito left for Al Ahly, the very first thought that I had is, wouldn't it be just the most amazing thing for South African football, period, or African football, period, you know, especially newsworthiness as well, you know.
It's a great narrative.
We're always looking at Europe, you know, the Messis, the Ronaldos making headlines before fixtures.
Yeah.
But we finally, you know, getting that kind of, you know, situation within the, you know, African football frame, you know.
Yeah.
We had it in our local league, you know, with Pito, you know, still coaching at the time. And you are finding it now spread into the African narrative, you know, holistically.
Yeah.
I mean, the prospect of what you're talking about now with Rulani possibly coaching Wydad. What does that say, you know, in future? I mean, now you have a Rulani facing a Mniti, facing a Pito.
Yeah.
I mean, what could that, you know, you get what I mean?
Very exciting.
It's super exciting. So, for me, I thought, look, it would be too good to be true if it would happen immediately. But, I mean, hey.
You know? We've
had very weird, you know, things happen over the last 2 years.
Stranger things in football.
Especially in football lately. So, I think it's written in the stars. It would be huge because it would be a, you know, would we be able to, you know, beat the maestro with Al Ahly? Especially after, you know, what Sundowns have put Al Ahly through over the last couple of years. And wouldn't it be wonderful as well for Pito on the other? For me, on both ends, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for South African football. It's a win-win for, like I said, you know, what people look for out there when we speak of popular leagues, the reason you know, the EPL is what it is because of how newsworthy it is holistically, not just on the field. That's why we move great players around the continent, you know, to get the marketability of the league a little bit more, you know, lucrative.
Definitely.
And that is exactly what is happening for African football right now.
And the beautiful thing is that it also has a very great narrative to it. Mm. As all great encounters go, we always need that media build-up, like you mentioned. And it's got that nice narrative to it that these aren't just players that Mosimane has developed, but there's a coach there that he's also assisted to develop in Rulani Mokoena.
Mm.
So I would really look forward to that. However, I got my fingers crossed. I want Al Ahly to win their group because I'd like to see them in a final as opposed to a quarterfinal.
You know what? It would be phenomenal for it to get there, right? And I think there's two sides of this coin for me.
Yeah.
Should it lead to a final, I think for both teams, it would be something to work towards.
Yeah.
You know, a vision to say, okay, Sundowns won. We need to make sure we win so that should, or at all cost, it needs to come down to us and them.
Yeah.
You know, right now, that's exactly how the story looks. But there's so many other great teams, you know, in between that could mess that fairy tale up, you know. But should we get it in a quarterfinal as well? What I will say about that is whoever wins that game, I believe, will probably win the tournament.
Will probably win the tournament. Whew. Interesting. But the man, the myth, the legend. Moving on to Mr. Petrus Motsepe. So, he did actually state his manifesto when he was campaigning for the CAF presidency.
Mm.
So he's now the CAF president. And I'll read out the manifesto. And it goes as follows. The first point is investing in development, in developing and growing football in each African country through sponsorships, private sector, and other partners. The second point was improving the efficiency and professionalism of CAF's competitions and staff. The third point, implementing and adhering to governance and auditing global best practices. The fourth point, investing in African football infrastructure. The fifth point, investing in our youth and in our future of African football. The sixth point, developing and growing women's football. The seventh point, protecting the integrity and professionalizing referees. The eighth point, establishing video assistant referees. The ninth point, statutory reforms. The tenth and final point, partnerships with FIFA and other continental governing bodies. How do you feel about this detailed manifesto?
You know, when it comes to manifestos with me, I'm one of those people that are very cautious of you know, following these and really taking them seriously.
Yeah.
Because what someone may state in their manifesto and what they apply are two different things.
Mm.
And it's very unfortunate for us because within this continent of ours, this very rich continent of ours, not just in football, but many other things, you know, but because we're speaking about football right now, that's been an evident area where you've seen people kind of not follow through on what their vision is and whatnot. And honestly speaking, sometimes this vision would really not be clear.
Mm.
You know, but I will say with our son of the soil here, Motsepe's manifesto is, for me, it seems very, honestly, it seems almost very simple, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do understand the amount of work that would need to go into these, especially with the state of where African Confederation or Federation of Football is currently, you know?
Yeah.
African countries should have been dominating, you know, football in Europe or in world competition for years now. But simply based on, you know, mismanagement of funds, hectic levels of corruption, you know, like I said, not just in football, you literally see the trend on many other areas.
Yeah.
Many areas that Motsepe actually works in mining and, yeah, you know, those kind of things. You literally see the corruption that's infiltrated these areas and you see the lack of growth that comes with that, right?
Yeah.
But with Motsepe's manifesto, it's sort of like a mini, okay, when I came into Sundowns, this is the plan that I had to, yeah, make these guys the best team in Africa, right? In maybe the next 20 years,
yeah,
right? And in under 20 years, that vision was seen, right? Now, this manifesto is exactly that. For me, it's not a situation of saying I'm looking to invest in developing football in each African country as if that's going to happen in the next 5 years or in the next, 10 years even. But you can literally see that this is a 20-year plan, a 15-year, yeah, plan of saying when the results of what the foundation we will lay at the beginning right now come to fruition,
this is what we will see.
We will probably find ourselves in a position where, honestly, for me, at the looking at this, especially with the women's football, I believe that is that is point number
six.
Number six on the manifesto, right?
Yeah.
Developing and growing women's football. That is something that he literally, for me, gave life to with the Mamelodi Sundowns women's team.
Yeah.
Where now they are a dominant team in CAF football as well, you know, in the CAF Women's Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, they show their pedigree. They show that these girls are not getting this, you know, they are performing at a high level. You can literally see them play against, you know, the top teams for them to actually get like more of a challenge.
Yeah.
That gives you a possibility of getting a South African team in a World Cup final possibly in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? And if, should the development really, take the route that he's planning for it to take, I do believe that in the next 10 years, we will probably see a South African women's team. I honestly feel like we'll probably see an African women's team win a World Cup before a men's team. But I do also believe that we've really been at the door many a times with the men's teams, and not just South Africa per se, but I do think, you know, many other countries, whether it be Ghana's, Senegal's, yeah, Cameroon's, Nigeria's, Egypt's, I do think with Motsepe at the helm, these countries would make a bid to get into a World Cup final.
Yeah, definitely, because from a talent perspective, raw talent, we're right up there.
Overflowing.
You know, we're right up there. It goes without saying. And it's almost as if when I was reading this manifesto, what hit me was, this is the state of Africa in general.
Yes.
You know, this is the state of Africa in general. There's so many raw mineral resources. Mm. There's so many raw talents.
Mm.
However, they just not managed correctly.
Mm.
And what I like about his manifesto, it's very simple. Very, very simple. Mm. And it's things which, when you look at, they're doable.
Yes.
Yes, it will take time, but they're doable. He's not selling us these great dreams. He's not promised us things which are basically impossible. Mm. Because a lot of people tend to promise the impossible.
Mm.
And because they are orators and great in speech, they're able to win people over.
Mm.
And what I also like is that his manifesto was actually FIFA approved.
Yes.
So they looked at it and they were impressed.
Yes.
They're like, okay, we like this. So when a man is a candidate for presidency and he's already backed by a higher power or higher entity, which is the governing body of FIFA, then you look at that and say, okay, this is a man who's more or less heading in the right direction. But out of these 10 points, which is the most important for you? Which do you think is the most prevalent and the one that screams out to you?
Man, to be honest, I'm not going to lie. Each and every single one of them is a super important point. You know, like from the very first one, all right? If you're looking at developing, you know, for African development is a very sad situation because many young African players are hungry to go play in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, and go develop themselves in Europe. Before they because the infrastructure in Africa is, you know, seemingly not there, you know, based, like I said, on the corruption that has taken place in many of these structures, where money that should have gone into certain things did not. And obviously the way we tend to treat and handle certain things in our communities, especially underprivileged communities, is not necessarily of, you know, a country that is looking to grow itself in that sense, right?
Yeah.
But with the way Motsepe came into, you know, his entire journey, just studying the man, you know, his upbringing, you know, him learning from his father, him, you know, making, you know, his own path, in terms of, you know, his communication, his ability to network, his ability to really get people behind his vision, you know?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, many leaders are good leaders, but don't have a destination to lead people. They don't know where they're going. They just know, look, I can lead, but I don't really know where I'm going. Maybe they don't have a clear vision of where they want to go. But great leaders are individuals that have a clear vision of where they want to go and know what they need to do to make it get there. Understanding that not everything is going to go according to plan, but because I know, you know, I've already seen this. Vision is about seeing things before they happen, you know, and that's why we call individuals like Motsepe, to be honest, visionaries, you know, because to be honest, already, I'm already seeing this man, not just CAF, you know, Sundowns was a inroad to CAF.
Yeah, definitely.
CAF is an inroad for Motsepe to go into FIFA. Yeah. You know, you can already see it. The writing's on the wall.
It is. You know? It definitely is on the wall. I mean, Gianni Infantino is one man who is praised by the footballing world when it comes to the governing side of things. And if that man gives you a thumbs up, then you know it means something really, really great. And also because, say, let's play out a scenario here. Say it's time for Gianni to move on from that role. And he needs to back someone. You know? If Mr. Petrus Motsepe can do things in the correct way, you know, who's to say he can't take on that hot seat at FIFA?
Absolutely.
You know? And, like they say, the sky's the limit. So,
Oh man!
Do tell me, are you happy with the appointment of Petrus Motsepe, and what does this mean for South African football and African football in general? I want you to start it on a local paradigm, and then we can branch it out to continental.
Well, look, already on the local paradigm, we've already seen what it's done for us. You know, we've already seen what the development of Sundowns has done for our league, has done for our players on the global stage, has done for our coaches on the global stage, you know, what it's done for our, you know, federation, our national team as well, you know, you've really begun to see, you know, the you know, fruits of the seeds that he planted all those years ago, 2003, I believe, right?
Yeah.
When he made that decision. So I'm really excited about what it's going to do. Like I said, I'm excited about what it's going to do for South African football now, in a sense, because I do think it's going to strengthen our local teams holistically.
Yeah.
I think we're actually going to possibly have a few more South African teams, you know, playing in Africa now, moving forward.
Yeah, those seedings.
Yes.
You know, because you only get two.
Yes.
Which is number one, and then runners-up. it would be very good to get to a point where we can have three South African teams, and then eventually, you know, it could grow to that point where you can have four. That would be, that would really, really be great. Because when you speak of representation, the more teams that represent the country, the more likely it is that that CAF trophy could be brought back to the country. And I remember when I look at 2 years ago, when the Europa League final had Arsenal versus Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League final that had Liverpool versus Tottenham, that's all where English. You want to get to. All English. All English. And it tells you about the dominance.
Yes.
You know, and that's where you want to get to.
That was actually a period where you realized, okay, La Liga is now beginning to lose its strength and the EPL is reclaiming itself, you know, in the global stage. And that's exactly what you are finding with, you know, what Sundowns kind of brought into CAF Champions League. Because CAF Champions League has always been very rudimental, but I guess maybe because South Africans didn't really have, you know, much invested in it, you know. But with a club like Sundowns, it really gave, you know, many of us as South Africans a bit of investment into CAF Champions League.
Yeah.
We started following more of the teams, even though we've already known. I mean, Pirates was the, you know, they were the trailblazer of this. And I do believe that Motsepe will really pay homage to Akosa to say, look, I took, because great leaders also learn from other leaders. You know, he took pages out of what Khoza did with Pirates and said, look, here's a blueprint. How do I improve it? And how do I run with it?
Yeah.
You know? And that's the exciting thing. Hence, I'm very excited about his son, because I'm wondering, is he going to be an individual to also take that picture and say, okay, this was my dad's blueprint.
Yeah.
How do I improve it?
Yeah.
And how do I run with it?
Yeah.
You know, because looking at, you know, what we're talking about on the South African scale of having more teams competing in CAF. On the African scale, this is giving us more opportunities to say, because I do believe Motsepe's joint goal with Pito was to really get into that, you know, Club World Cup final and win that Club World Cup.
Yeah.
And I still believe it is a joint goal that they share till this day, you know, where him as president, you know, being president at the same time with an African coach winning a Club World Cup, and chances are both of them being South African, that would be another endorsement for South Africa on its own. Because like I said, what this does is it says to the world, wait, if South Africa can produce individuals like this, you know, we have a Percy Tau, we have a Bongani Zungu, we have a, you know, these are the players alone. Okay, we have a Pito Mosimane, we have a Rulani Mokoena, you know, we have a Patrice Motsepe, you know, on the governance side of things. What more can this country offer? Now that says more investment comes into the country, which gives opportunity for better development. This is what happened when you know, Pirates won, and Bafana, the following year, Bafana won, you know, the Cup of Nations.
Yeah.
That's the trend. Remember what we were talking about with Champions League?
Yeah.
The club that wins the Champions League most likely will belong to a country that will win the World Cup.
Yeah.
And that is the trend that I believe Motsepe is looking at and saying, look, this is what I want to create for Africa.
Yeah.
To say the clubs that perform at the highest level in Champions League, you know, will belong to countries that are going to perform at the highest level in the African, you know, the Cup of Nations, and will, you know, be the clubs that will, the countries that will perform at the highest level at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So this is really not just looking at it on a small scale, but I'm really thinking this man is literally just this. It's still puzzle pieces coming together of a much larger picture.
And what I love about it is that what people don't realize is that this man has opened up an opportunity for each and every single one.
Everyone.
Each and every single person who's affiliated to Mamelodi Sundowns. Because what people do is once they find out that this man owned a club. Okay, let's look into his club. Wow, Sundowns, they're competing. Who's that player? Oh, that's Rivaldo Kutsia.
Mm.
Who's that player? Oh, that's Peter Shalulile. Mm. You know? Mm. So, and also what I love about how good he is at building systems. This is a man who, he knows what to do and how to do it.
Mm.
You know, when he allowed Pito Mosimane the freedom to build his team. I mean, Sundowns had three analysts. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know how many physical trainers did they have.
Yeah.
They had so many.
Yeah.
And they also had so many videographers as well.
Yeah.
This is a guy who knows how to build a strong team in anything that he does. And his systems have worked at Sundowns. And a biblical reference is, you know, you're trusted with what you do at the small. So what will happen now when he's got all this?
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So what you do at the small things,
yes,
you can replicate that on a bigger scale.
Yes.
And I thoroughly believe that he can do that. And speaking
will.
And speaking of replication, no pun intended.
Yep.
His eldest son, Khopane Motsepe, is set to take over as president. What do you think about this? You did mention that earlier on, but I just want you to delve in a bit deeper as to how do you think it will affect Sundowns.
Look, some people may think maybe we are painting this man with too much of a wonderful brush.
You know?
We do understand that, like everyone else, Motsepe does have rumors behind him and all of these things, right? And many people would look at this as... also a you know, okay, so the opportunity is going to your son. Is there no other better, you know, management person that you could, you know, someone with more experience and so on and so forth. But like you said, this man knows how to build systems. And the one thing with people that know how to build systems is that they break it down to the very smallest nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
To the very smallest. He's an individual. If he was a doctor, he would literally look at things to the smallest cell before looking at the liver. You know, he would break it down to the smallest atomic, you know, cell in the entire picture. So looking at his vision with his son coming into management already in Sundowns, coming into an apprenticeship, you know, a couple of years ago, you could already see that he's planning on leaving. Hence I say, you know, nothing happens as a coincidence. When Peter left, Peter would have never left Sundowns, I believe, if he didn't know that Motsepe was leaving. Honestly speaking. Mm. Not trying to bring conspiracies into this whole thing, but I do believe that, you know, this was a joint decision to say, okay, cool. You are taking a step to advance yourself now, and I think maybe this is the time for me to do the same. You know?
Especially because, you know, when you think about how it occurred, Peter Mizumane's departure, it was very swift.
Yeah, extremely.
And there was no... There was almost no...
resistance to it.
Yeah, no resistance.
After signing a new contract.
Exactly. And no window period of bargaining. Because usually employers would say, you know, but give me time. Let me make a counter-offer. If anything, it sort of painted the image that Mr. Petrus Motsepe was happy to let him go.
Yes.
Because there was a plan.
Exactly.
You know, there was a plan.
Exactly.
And so much so that the way this man is so... validated. I think this was the biggest compliment. When you have other guys who are running against you,
yes,
when they drop out,
yes,
and they say they want to be part of your team,
yes,
they're willing to be your assistants. That for me was the biggest compliment. And with Khopane, who's been at Sundowns for the past couple of years, he also got very close to Mr. Alex Goldfinger's
Chakwane. Yeah,
he was very close to him. And it turns out that they will be working hand in hand. You'll be guided by Mr. Alex. And years ago, you'd ask yourself, but why is he so close to Mr. Goldfingers? And these things, like you say, they don't happen by chance. They don't happen by coincidence. So I believe that Mr. Motsepe has always been playing this chess game.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're now getting to the point where it's checkmate.
You need to also understand, when Motsepe came into Sundowns, Motsepe came in, Chakwane was there.
Yes.
You know, Chakwane is Sundowns, you know.
Yeah.
Goldfingers has always, like that, when you think of Mamelodi Sundowns, one of the first people that will pop into your head, you know, especially as a person that has followed the club, you know, in those years, is Alex, you know.
Yeah.
So he understands. For you to understand what this club's... That's why he's... Some people will wonder, why has Chakwane remained in that? Is he really still useful to the club in that sense? Extremely.
Yeah.
You know, extremely. And not just...
Part of the furniture.
Not just based on what he can offer, you know, professionally, but what he can offer in terms of every single individual that comes into the Sundowns structure will understand through him first and foremost, what this club's philosophy is, where this club comes from, what their culture is, what it means to the people of Mamelodi, where, you know, the history of the club. And what, who better to know that than the person running the club? Which is what I believe Motsepe did at the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is what I think he also understood to say, whoever should succeed me needs to spend time with this man.
Yeah.
I think that's what he did. I think he spent a lot of time with Alex, you know, Ntate Chakwane. He spent a lot of time with him, in, you know, in terms of understanding where this club's come from, comes from even more, and really setting a path for where he wants to take it, you know.
Yeah.
Also, putting it in the, because remember there was that period where, you know, the talk was, we really want this to be a club for even players from Mamelodi to be, you know, people that play for this club and become the big names of this club, you know? That really comes from somewhere. You get what I mean? And I still think that's something that you'll find, you know, with young Motsepe, Hore, it's definitely something he's gonna, you know, continue with. Because
definitely, they
understand the importance of not just making Sundowns a great team with great African players, you know, from other continents. I mean, other countries within the continent. But also, you know, for young kids, Bako Mamelodi, and other places within the country, yes. But, you know, young kids, Bako Mamelodi, that are highly talented to become, you know, the true, you know, source of the lifeblood of what that team means. Because when you looked at, you know, Liverpool, and you look at a Steven Gerrard, you know, you look at a young boy that
Scousers,
you know, you get what I mean. You look at you know, young kids that grew up in those structures, and became world class players for those teams, and that is exactly what I think they've been trying to build. A Sundowns that has South African players and players within, you know, Pretoria, Mamelodi, that are world class players, building that kind of narrative for the South African, you know, football fraternity.
Yeah.
And I really believe him putting him together with Ntate Chakwane was based on that. He needs to understand what this club is about first before you can lead. Because remember, we've had this discussion before. You need to know something well enough in order to be able to manipulate it as well.
Definitely.
So if he doesn't know what Sundowns is truly about and he just takes it as face value based on zeros and ones, you're not going to go anywhere.
It's not going to work.
You need to feel it.
And I think he's definitely cut his teeth. Because
true,
he spent all those years studying, learning the game, you know. And so people can question why his son, but when it comes to if you convert it on an academia level, this is a man who's studied the same amount of years you'd study for your degree or your honors degree. Yes. So he studied Sundowns thoroughly.
Yes. Yes.
It's not a pass from father to son without having earned it. Yes. He's earned it. You know, behind the scenes, he's done so much. And what I like about it is that it's a younger blood of Motsepe as well. And it is often said that those you give birth to tend to carry more potency and power than you.
Absolutely.
You know? And I really look forward to that. Because on a social level, I think this is a guy who would be able to relate with the players a lot better than maybe his father would. You know? This is a guy who can actually go to the training sessions. Who can maybe one day, he can actually kit up and jog with them. You know, he can join in a five-a-side session. So those things, I think, are very, very important. And young players also will have now a person who's more or less in their age group who they can look up to as a leader. They feel the importance of being able to go to him and speak to him and say, you know, Mr. President, this is what I feel. Whereas when you take a Mr. Petrus Motsepe right now, at the peak of his powers, and let's say a young player comes into Sundowns, you know, you always feel that gap is too far to bridge. But now when there's a young guy who more or less is in your age group and who more or less understands the music you listen to, the culture, it makes it a lot better. So I'm looking forward and I'm very excited because I think Sundowns can only grow from strength to strength. And I think he will be the best man, the best suited man to actually carry the vision forward. And with that being said, where do you see CAF in the next 10 years with Mr. Petrus Motsepe at the helm? And I say 10 years because I think that he's in good stead to actually even go on and get the second term. Yes, he hasn't started. However, with the whispers in the corridors, with the fact that he's the first from the SADC region, secondly, the first president to not have any prior involvements with CAF and to have not have a record of corruption. I definitely do see him getting a second term. So if given the second term, where do you see CAF in the next 10 years?
Look, first things first, as much as this is a fairy tale, let's also be honest by the fact that a lot of people are not happy about his appointment.
Yeah.
Those that have been, you know, on that corruption train. But, you know, when corrupt people want to stay in power, they'll stay in power. You know what I mean? So I also believe he's also got their buy-in, you know, in that sense, because if you're not even opposed in any way whatsoever, you know, and you're coming in as, you know, this squeaky clean individual, you know, it almost doesn't make sense.
It raises an eyebrow.
In a sense, look, let me not say it raises an eyebrow. Like I said, I'm not trying to poke at any conspiracies. But that being said, what it just proves to me even more is the power that this man has.
Yeah.
You know, the power. You know, the example you made earlier on the gap between a young player coming into the team and relating to him. I truly understand that and I agree with you. But at the same time, I would not discount the fact that this is, you know, individuals like this are people that are, even though they're great individuals, when you are in their space and when you know them, the one common thing you'll hear people talk about when they talk about them is, he's like any other normal human being.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know. You feel his aura, yes, he's a great man, but he treats you like, you know, like any other normal human being. And that is the most calming thing for someone that's dealing with someone that is probably intimidating to them. Yeah. To feel like, but wait, I can actually relate to this person like any other human being. And they're treating me like, you know, with respect. They don't see themselves as high and mighty. They're seeing themselves as an equal to me.
Equivalent, yeah.
That really, it's you know, these are the kind of things that, like I said, people are willing to follow.
Yeah.
You know, when leaders have these kind of personalities and these kind of visions, it's easy to follow someone's vision with that kind of personality.
Yeah.
You know, with that kind of energy around them. So, hence, he could achieve what he achieved at Sundowns. Hence, it's something that I really believe is also written in the stars that he'll be able to achieve with CAF.
Yeah.
And written in the stars, Lord willing, that he keeps him, you know, would be able to write with FIFA.
Yeah.
So, in the next 10 years, like I said, I honestly see a Club World Cup win for an African team.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I see a Club World Cup win for an African team in that 10 years. I see a maybe World Cup
semi-final
maybe for a women's team.
Yeah.
And a men's team. You know, semi-final, maybe final with some of the great African teams that are there in the women's front, you know. But for the men's side as well, I do see a possible World Cup semi-final for an African club. Because I really do think that the strides that African football is going to make over the next 10 years are going to be very monumental.
Yeah.
Like you said, if you could do so much with little in 15 years, with the most that he has right now, I do think 15 years is a time period of great exploits. So we're definitely going to see changes within the next 5. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And we are going to see great strides within 10. Within 15, I can dare to dream and say we may see a African World Cup winner.
Yeah.
On
it,
any of the fronts.
It definitely would be great. And what I love the most about the presidency run and how he's managed to become the CAF president is how he relinquished the role at Mamelodi Sundowns.
Yeah.
So to me, it already tells me that this is a man who wants to solely focus on CAF and change things around.
Yes.
It also shows that he doesn't have two different hands in two different pots at the same time. That could cause distraction. And thirdly, I love the fact that he's a businessman and he's a lawyer before anything. So the amount of endorsements, the amount of sponsorships that he will be able to secure for African football, that's what excites me the most. Because many a times we've got the talent, but we don't have an individual who will be able Because these things obviously boil down to communication. Mm. They boil down to intelligence. Mm. But we've never had a man who could sit across a big brand, let's say a Coca-Cola, for example, mm. or a Discovery or a Bidvest. Mm. Name your biggest companies in the world. Mm. We've never had a man who can sit across them mm. and thoroughly negotiate contracts.
Mm. Mm.
And thoroughly negotiate sponsorships and endorsements, mm. you know. Because when you look at it, the games aren't even televised.
Look at Champions League being sponsored by your Heinekens, you know, these car brands, your Nissans, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things I believe we're definitely going to begin to see within African football.
Definitely.
We're definitely going to start seeing, you know, CAF being sponsored by these big brands.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to start seeing CAF games being televised. And like I said, that only bodes well for the development of the game, because the more kids are watching this and seeing people that they can identify with to say, these guys look like me, these guys are,
yeah.
you know, they have the same story, they come from backgrounds like mine, yeah. and here they are, you know, on the world stage, performing like crazy week in, week out, you know, on Champions League competition. That gives a young Congolese child, a young, you know, I mean, back in the days, you had your, you know, JJ Okota, Samuel Eto, you know, Mohamed Aboutrika, you know, moving into the more recent phases, Benny McCarthy's for South African players, so on and so forth, you know. We've had great players that have always been seen in high regard in Europe, you
yeah.
know, because African players have always been known to be very talented players. But when it comes to the technical side of the game, we've never really had the resources properly put into place.
Yeah.
We've had the opportunity for the sponsorship. We've had the financial backing that has wanted to come into Africa. But unfortunately, like we've said from the beginning, things like your corruption, things like, you know, bad mismanagement in finances and so on, you know, have always really taken down these avenues of development within
yeah.
the continent. Where we find ourselves always in that situation where, like I said, when it comes to the greatest world stage of them all, your World Cups, we have countries that are taking European countries to the brink, but just not going over the finish line.
Yeah.
Right? And those have always been sides to say, this is what Africa can offer. And you could also get a sense that they could do better. Right?
Mm.
So, knowing how, like we've spoken about Motsepe taking things down to the nitty-gritty, like breaking the pieces down to the smallest piece, I think he will really try clean all of these avenues up as best as he could. And with those cleanups, I do see, you know, developmental hubs in many other countries within these continents. You know, economically, this could also be a massive turnaround.
Definitely.
For many other underprivileged African countries with talented South African footballing structures. Because Africa's greatest export to the world has always been its sports, arts, and culture.
Yeah.
You know, forget its minerals and resources. Its true mineral and resource has been its people. It's people's talent, it's people's ability.
Workmanship.
It's people's workmanship, you know.
Yeah.
Hence, we were taken as slaves,
yeah.
you know, because that which we do with our hands multiplies.
Yeah.
Right? So, that which we do with our ability multiplies. And it's very unfortunate because of the mental breakdown that we've gone under over the, you know, last couple of hundred years. Every time we are in a prime position to really make things happen for ourselves, these kind of breakdowns would come up, would come along. But with an individual like this man, you know, an individual that really seems like he stands for something, you know, an individual that seems like he has that, you know, like I said, I really don't believe that anyone is squeaky clean, but I really believe this man is as clean as can be,
yeah.
you know, and for that, I really would endorse Motsepe, like I said, for the first African CAF president, you know, at some point,
yeah.
you know, the first South African, you know, CAF president of you know, South African descent from the SADC region,
yeah.
and getting any of this, just like I said, it gives the next 20 years, you know, another young individual to come in and say, I want to take this man's blueprint,
mm.
not even related to him, just another young individual, because Let's go back to the nitty-gritty of saying we do have a lot of wealthy individuals in South Africa, you know, in Africa as a whole. But what are we doing with our money?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're squandering it, you know.
Yeah.
And finding an individual like this who could do all kinds of foolery with his money. But his passion for sport, he took his money and said, okay, so how do I use what I have, you know, to really change the game in a passion of mine?
Yeah.
All right, so my passion is football. Let me invest in football then. But what is it that do I see in football that is lacking? All right, starting within my own country,
yeah.
This is what I see. Mm. We don't have a, you know, benchmark club anymore that is doing this. Yeah. Okay, so then let me start investing in a club. Which club can I choose? Okay, here's a club with history. Here's a club with, you know, pedigree, but just has never really gone that far.
And that tells you everything about the type of man he is. Mm. This is a man who's lost probably the most money because of his passion when it comes to football. He said this. He said this, that his obsession and love for the game is a stupid one. It's a foolish one. But he loves it because he knows what he's investing in is for years and generations to come. And a man who's willing to lose money out of his own pocket to see other people grow, develop, and become great in life, I think that's the right man.
Do you know what that gives you, Lulu? Do you know what that gives you? Doesn't give you money. It doesn't give you wealth. It grants you immortality, my brother.
Hmm. Well said.
Hmm.
And on that note, we've come to the end of... this was a very, very interesting episode, actually. I really love doing feature episodes where we focused on one point or one individual, because it allows us to go in depth and it allows us to dissect the frog, the proverbial frog, and it allows us to look at each and everything underneath a microscopic lens.
Yes.
So thank you very much for coming through, my brother.
Thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed this one. Thank you once again for inviting me. I really appreciate it. This was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. You're welcome on Disky Vibes. You're part of the family now, so...
Absolutely. Looking forward to another one, hopefully, in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Signing out.